Welcome to Discover Lafayette. I'm Jan Swift. Discover Lafayette focuses on the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Lafayette is home to many successful family-owned businesses, which endure and grow generation after generation. Today's guest is Todd Citron of Hub City Ford, a business that'll soon be celebrating its 75th year of operation. Besides selling cars and trucks, the Citron family has given so much back to our community. Todd, thank you so much
for being on the show today. Jan, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, Todd and I are buddies. We met through Upper Lafayette, which I want to tell you, I just loved my 10 years with Upper Lafayette.
I miss you tremendously.
Well, I'm just so honored to be doing this show. Now we can focus on all the good things throughout Lafayette, and I couldn't think of a better guest.
Well, thank you.
Especially knowing that Hub City Ford's been in business now since World War II.
We have. We're very humbled. The dealership began in 1943. My grandfather, Brown Forche, worked for the Ford Motor Company in 1918 in an assembly plant in New Orleans. And after his years with the factory, they offered us the franchise in Lafayette. And so we've been here ever since. And so next year we'll celebrate 75 years. We have
That's
a
great.
Lot of good things planned for that. And we're just very humbled by our success.
I know. Let's go back. I'd like to have you share some of the early family history. I read a little bit on your family, and apparently they were in the sugar business, or he had traveled.
The Forche family were sugarcane farmers from Generette, and when Brown graduated from high school, if you've ever been to Manresa, Manresa used to be Jefferson College, and our family, had something to do with it. I don't know if they a great relative donated the property there or whatever. So each of the family members were able to go to Jefferson College for free. Mm-hmm. And Brown went to Jefferson College, and then the federal government hired him to procure sugarcane and teach people in Honduras how to do sugarcane. So he took his wife and kids over there to Honduras. And long story short, they had some rough times over there. Mm-hmm. And had to head back home. And when he was coming up the Mississippi River from Honduras on a ship, he noticed this. There was some steam in the background. Yeah. And he asked the guy, "What is that?" And the guy said, "Well, that's the Ford Motor Company. They have a plant." And he said, "Well, do you think they would hire him?" And he said, "You'll just have to go see. I don't know." So he got off the ship and literally followed the smoke to the company, which led him to the Ford Motor Company, and filled out an application, and they put a broom in his hand. And the rest is history. He worked as an assembly plant guy, and then eventually he was a road runner, where you collect from the dealers all over the country, all over the state of Louisiana.
And that was the early days of Ford Motor
yeah,
Company.
It was.
Yeah.
It was really cool. So, you know, I tell people in New Orleans even that I see that they hardly remember that there was an assembly plant in New Orleans, but he loved the Ford Motor Company, always communicated with Mr. Henry Ford and Lee Iacocca and all the people that were with Ford, you know, it was an intimate relationship.
Yeah. So nobody was really from Lafayette. They were from Generette.
Generette, uh-huh. Yes. And my dad was from Chicago. He was a true Yankee. And
what was his name,
Todd? Elroy Citron. Uh-huh. And his father was from San Francisco. So they were really, you know, outsiders. He went to college at Tulane. My grandpa on the other side worked for Johnson & Johnson, and his job took him to New Orleans, and my parents met
there
in New Orleans, yeah.
So your mom is Marcel Citron.
Yes.
Her father is the one, Brown Forte, you were speaking of. Mm-hmm. And so your parents met in New Orleans.
They did. Actually, Dad was in a barbershop when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and he said they literally ran as fast as they could to enlist in the Navy, and he went straight away to war. He asked my mom to get married. She was 17, and they got married right away, and he took off to the war, and, you know, they came back home eventually and had six boys, and my parents were married probably 50 years, and my father's been deceased now about 20 years, but my mom, she's doing real well. She's 91, and she's spunky as ever.
Is she?
Yeah. She got to go to the Civic Cup. Dr. Mary Neuheisel won this year, and Mom was a previous recipient, and she was real proud to be there for
I'm
that.
I'm so glad to hear that. Through the years, I've gotten to know your family, and I guess we can talk first. Let's talk a little bit about the civic engagement, then I want to talk, of course, about your business. Your mother, Marcel Citron, was really instrumental in so many local charitable endeavors, and Food Net is what comes to my mind first. If you want to maybe talk a little bit about that, what inspired her to start
Mom went to Ursuline in New Orleans and was raised by the sister. She was at Grand Coteau. She boarded. And she just had this amazing Catholic upbringing where they just touched her, the Holy Spirit, at a young age. And it inspired her to, you know, to take care of the poor. And that was her, you know, her calling in life, really. And she used the dealership to be a springboard for that. You know, we were able to do those kind of things. And so, you know, FoodNet, just a short version of, you know, through the dealership, we do a lot of advertising. Mm-hmm. And she was able to foster a relationship with Channel 10 and get them really started from the beginning. But Mom won the Jefferson Award and was sent to Washington, D.C. And she, you know, came across some homeless people, and this cab driver got out and gave the guy some money. He wasn't from here. And anyway, at that Jefferson Award, she saw some kids from Stanford University who had a food bank and had this idea. And she loved the idea, and so she brought that to Lafayette from Stanford University, the idea. She said, I'm going to do that in Lafayette, and, you know, the rest is history. So FoodNet was
When I read that story, what really touched me was she said the cab driver stopped to give money to some homeless people, and he said he was sharing what he had to help others less fortunate, and he apparently said to your mother, I don't see that Americans share as
much.
Yeah,
he said, I just don't see that in this country. But where I'm from, he said, we don't have much, but we give what we have.
And that touched her heart.
Very much so.
Yeah, yeah, she's a character. I'm so glad to hear she's doing well.
Mom's a pistol.
And she's done so many other things in the community, if you care to mention a few.
Mom started the Pink Ladies at Lafayette General, which I guess was the old sanitarium. And Mom started Faith House and 232 Help and Project RX. And you know, she just, it's just kind of goes on and on. Mom was, brought the women's Crescia to Prairie Roan. They had it for men, but not for women. And that's some place that was just really close to her heart. And so she's done so much. You know, I just, I can't even list all the things, but it's just been a lifelong passion. And she's still doing it. You know, she's still receiving awards and still out in the community when she can. She loves the horse farm. She goes there
a lot. She does.
So Mom still, you know, she loves to quote Mother Teresa, and, you know.
And a long-term Rotarian.
Oh, yeah, she's really,
Don't
she
leave
got
that
me
out.
In the Rotary, and she loves Rotary, and, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, like she said, you know, too much has been given, much is expected, and she's taken that to heart.
Yeah. So her dad started the business, and then apparently your father and she worked in the business. So you grew up. Definitely a Ford
brat.
Ford brat. Yeah. Huh? Tell about that. What's it like to grow up in a family-owned business? Were you always, like, did you always
I grew
know?
Up there. Everyone that's at the store has been there forever. Ramona Cole just comes to mind. She made 60 years with the company.
Oh my
She's
gosh,
still there.
Todd.
So these people raised me. I mean, literally.
Did you work there as a young boy?
Yes, I worked there all through high school and college, and then after that. But, you know, more than that, when I was at Cathedral, we were downtown where the federal courthouse is, and I would walk from school to there when I was in kindergarten and all the way up through grade school. So I spent every afternoon at the dealership, and I mean, you know, it's just, I can't, that's just like my family.
Where was it?
It's where the federal courthouse was.
That's downtown. Where your dealership?
Yeah, that's where the dealership used to be.
Wow.
So it was just a block on Vermilion Street, just a block away from Cathedral. So even when I was a kid, we'd go to lunch, and then I'd go to the top of the gym at Cathedral, and I would watch them sell cars. I could go to the window up there in the gym and look down on the lot. And I would watch the sales guys sell cars. I thought that was something pretty cool.
Is that where most of the dealerships were back then? Were they downtown, centric, or I don't know what year they moved.
Sort of, I guess. Lafayette Motors back in the day was, you know, over there.
Jefferson.
And they sold horse and buggies. They were the oldest store in Lafayette. And then Service Chevrolet was on Cameron Street. They came in the 70s, I believe. So, you know, right now, Hub City is by far the oldest Ford store left in Lafayette, you know, by far, family-owned.
When did you move to I-49? What year?
That was, well, the truck center moved in, like, 1976 or so, and then the rest of the dealership came over in around 1980.
Right.
And so, yeah, you know, been there ever since.
So you grew up there. Your mom was your boss?
No. Mr. Ronnie Gibbons was my true boss. He passed away just recently, and I loved him dearly, and he was my second father, you know, and my dad put me, was smart enough to put me in the finance department, mm-hmm. which was a great place for me to learn the business. And so, you know, I didn't start washing cars or any of those things, probably should have, or shelving parts, you know. Mm-hmm. I started in the front end of the business, which so I was a little spoiled as that goes, but I was able to learn the business.
And you got to see what people had to do to be able to purchase a car, you know.
It was, you know, and what a great business where mm-hmm. you can do something positive for someone. If someone comes in with marginal credit, you know, you don't look down upon someone like that. You don't know what their situation is like. It could be a divorce, it could be a bankruptcy due to an illness in the family. There's so many situations, and when you're able to take that customer and put mm-hmm. them on a car and get them financed and get them on the road, and it's happy for everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's a very gratifying job, and I love that job. I did it for 13 years and loved it.
I have to ask, what is it like when people walk in? Like, you must see people just so excited to be walking in, thinking about their dream truck or car, and you're able to help them, you and your
staff.
It's
a good feeling, like, you know. It's hard because...
it's such a beautiful showroom,
oh,
too,
thank
I have
you.
To say.
Yeah,
we
have a really super nice facility, and we have great people, we do. But, you know, customers are on guard, and I guess maybe rightfully so, and they don't want to be taken advantage of. And, you know, it's taken, in, I find, in today's world, a lot more to overcome people's... their inhibition to buy a car and get taken advantage of, because
yeah.
I guess they do get taken advantage of.
I guess they don't want to look excited, maybe, because they think,
yeah,
oh,
no, they're
just,
playing
you know.
It close to the vest, and I understand that, you know. And
I always get excited in a showroom, though. It's just so bright and shiny.
Yeah, it's funner to, it's more fun. Funner is not a good word. More fun to sell a customer their second car.
Oh, okay.
Because then there's much more of a trust
yeah.
factor. And I think we've earned that trust, you know, mm-hmm. when you sell a customer, you service them and you treat them with respect. And when they need something, you are able to give it to them. And then mm-hmm. and then it's a two-way street. So,
yeah.
you know, I love our repeat business, and we have wonderful people, and we're very blessed, mm-hmm. and we never take it for granted.
Right. So you were talking about your mom and dad having six boys. So many of you work in the business. If you want to maybe... Talk about
so,
that, what that's like.
Five out of the six boys worked at the dealership. Actually, the sixth brother did work there through college, was a record driver and whatnot. So the brothers are starting to get older. I'm the youngest, and two of them will be retired. One retired, one soon to be retired. So, you know, it's interesting because we don't get together at Christmas or Easter or any
oh.
of those things, because we're together
every day.
Day,
yeah.
So, you know, it's different for us. But, you know, we've been, I will say this, as a family business goes, we've been able to really make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And we genuinely do get along. And I think the key to the success is that when we don't agree, we air it out. And we'll scream and holler and curse and everything, you know, amongst our brothers. But then... A day later, everybody has a short memory, and we just go back to work.
Right. You know? I read in an article where you were interviewed saying that a family-owned business, it's really important to have pride in the family name. Like, you want to keep it going because it's more than about you. It's going back to your grandfather.
Yes.
It's a legacy.
It means a lot. It's I think that success for me in the business is not so much financial. Financial is important. We have to feed the kids and all that good stuff. But, you know, to genuinely help customers and have people say nice things mm-hmm. about you when you're not around. And, you know, I think that's important to me. I mean, it's important to me to always treat people well mm-hmm. and, you know, leave a good reputation behind for your children to,
right.
you know, that's important.
And I also know from firsthand experience that your employees, as you said, many of them are very long-term employees, and they're very loyal. I guess is there a special secret about keeping people in a family-owned business, you know?
Well,
you can share
we
that.
Truly are family. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't know what our success is. I think part of the secret is that Lafayette is a great place, and we're the only Ford dealership in Lafayette, and Lafayette's a pretty big town to have one Ford store. And we've done very well for ourselves due to the oil industry. We've done real good. So we have pretty good high-paying jobs. I think the sales jobs and the service jobs, the technician jobs even, are all very high-paying mm-hmm. as it relates to the rest of Lafayette. So I think the pay is good. And then I think it's a wonderful work atmosphere. We don't mm-hmm. we don't believe in, you know, micromanaging. We hire good people and we let them do their
job.
Let them
do it.
That's important, and we really don't have much turnover, so people get a consistent product. It's not always maybe the best of the best because you get in a rut sometimes, but it's very consistent, mm-hmm. you know, and I think people genuinely have, they believe in what they're doing, they believe in the store, and that comes across, and they're happy, and when people walk into the dealership and they can feel that, and I think they genuinely see happy yeah. people, so.
Yeah, I met several of your employees a few years back, if you remember, you had taken yeah. Dale Carnegie, mm-hmm. and I feel like it changed you. You became, you know, a spokesperson, and when I figured out what you had done, when you shared it, I said, well, I want to take Dale Carnegie. Mm-hmm. So I did, and you had you had several employees in there at your urging.
Yes.
The service manager,
uh-huh.
Paul was in there.
Tommy and Paul.
Yeah. Rachel Calais, your accountant. I mean, you had a lot of your staff in there. So we all took the 12-week Dale Carnegie class together, and you really get to know people because we have to tell stories on mm-hmm. ourselves. So I felt like I was growing up in my communication skills with Hub City
Dale
Ford
Carnegie.
Crew.
Yeah, I'm shy.
It really changed you, though. I mean, you became an eloquent spokesperson.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful experience,
it was.
I wanted to share that with the rest of the store. I figured I'd go through the course and see how it went, and if mm-hmm. it went okay, I'd put everyone else through, and that's what happened, and we're still putting people on.
That was good, yeah. Well, let's talk about your location, too. I know you're a big I-49 proponent because of where you are on I-49. Mm-hmm. You decided to stay there, you and your family, when you were looking whether or not you were going to move possibly to South Lafayette or stay put and invest. And
yes.
we were talking about the beautiful facility. I know Kevin Gosson did your redesign, and mm-hmm. it's elegant, but you decided to stay put because you wanted to be on the road from Canada to New Orleans.
That's right.
Winnipeg.
That's right. So the choices were you mm-hmm. want to be on a road that connects Canada to New Orleans or a road that connects Lafayette to Abbeville, because we were going to be on Johnson Street.
Which is also
south.
A good location.
Nothing
I mean,
wrong with
yeah.
it, you know, but for us, it just seemed like a natural fit for us. I mean, mm-hmm. we have a connection with Upper Lafayette, and no one really wanted to move. A lot of our employees live on this end, and people tell us it's easy to get to.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a little further from South Lafayette, but it's easy to get to. And so we had a big fight amongst the family. And,
that's why there's no Thanksgiving
meal
together.
So one of those fights, and we went back and forth, and we did buy the land on Johnson Street, and where Mercedes is going, Audi and Volkswagen mm-hmm. and Rouse's, all that was our property. And it's been proven that it can be a good place for a car dealership, but not for Hub City Ford. We're happy to be where we are. It's a supernatural experience because the Holy Spirit, just the way things worked out. Katrina hit 2 weeks before we were breaking ground. And they put in the go zone incentives, and we had this wonderful opportunity to be on the front end of the construction in Lafayette, but also to do it either twice as nice or for half the price because of the tax incentives, and we built it twice as nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yep.
So, yeah. Well, let's talk for a minute about it's fourth generation now. I know technically it's third generation, mm-hmm. but your granddad started Hub City Ford, and then you're third generation. And then now you've got Ashley, your daughter, has opened up an
yes.
Allstate dealership Allstate agency in the dealership.
Yeah, we have a few other nephews in there, uh-huh. my brother's kids that are doing a great job in the store. But we had an opportunity to acquire an uh-huh. Allstate franchise,
which I love
and,
that idea.
It's just a natural fit. Got to have car insurance when you buy mm-hmm. a car, and we're selling homeowners as well. And we're 1 year in business, and it was way beyond my expectations. She's doing a fabulous job, knew nothing about insurance, but taught herself. And
she's grown up.
And we have four employees, and it's just really taken mm-hmm. off. So, you know, Allstate's got it. I am, and
yeah.
I love Allstate. They went to Chicago and toured their facilities, and they're really a great company. And so we're real happy mm-hmm. about that.
So I guess you're glad that your family stayed here in Lafayette.
I
want to get
Lafayette.
That in for the show.
Yeah,
that's
of course.
Kind of why we're here.
You know, I mean, I love Lafayette. I genuinely love Lafayette. I had a stint on the chamber board, and you know, when they asked me to become a member of the chamber board, I was thrilled because I would love to go out and sell Lafayette to the rest of the country and the rest of the world because I just believe so much in it. This is the greatest place on earth. You know, there's no place anywhere that you'll find the spirituality. You have natural resources. Mm-hmm. The hunting and fishing is second to none. You know, it's a great place to work, a great place to play, and I wouldn't exchange it for anything. We're in a 20 group with a lot of other Ford dealers around the country, and I'm telling you, we're the envy of the world. So, you know, this is the place to be.
Yeah. What are they like when you talk with people? Is it our food? Is it the people? Like, what do you hear?
Well, I mean, for people outside looking in, like, for instance, the Ford dealers, they don't know much about our culture, but they see our numbers. And, mm-hmm. you know, we do really good numbers as it pertains to the Ford Motor Company. We sell a lot of cars and trucks, and we do a great job in service. We have the biggest service department maybe in the country.
You do?
It's one of, yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize it's
phenomenal. We have probably 76 bays, and we just constantly have work. We do almost 100 oil changes a day. And so it's a massive operation as it pertains to that big parts business. So, mm-hmm. you know, they're just looking at numbers. But when Ford comes in and visits all the regional people from Nashville or wherever, they love the food.
Uh-huh,
you know, they love the people. And they just can't get over, I think, our general, the feeling, again, when you walk in the mm-hmm. store, where it's just a good feeling, happy
right.
people.
You know, we know this. we've both been active with the Chamber and One Acadiana. And one reason I'm doing this show, Todd, is that I want to remind people that are here what we have, and also people that haven't been here that
sure.
can hear this show or the podcast. It's kind of a dual TV show podcast, but I'd like to get people to come check it out because we really do have a unique culture.
Well, one of the things I love most about you is your love for Lafayette and your love for Upper Lafayette when you were doing that
mm-hmm.
job. You know, I think you have a genuine passion for
our people.
Our people. That's
yeah.
right. I mean, you get it, and you know, I love that.
It's easy to share and easy to love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
it really is.
You were talking about spirituality too. We do have a deep faith-based, family-oriented culture. And before the show started, we were talking about the future of Lafayette because we, you know, we've been through somewhat mm-hmm. of a downturn in the oil and gas industry, and we've been through that before. But this go round, we are. We're very blessed to have a thriving healthcare community and techie community that's growing technology. But what do you think about the future of Lafayette?
The future is so bright. I mean, I'm jealous in a lot of ways. I wish I was 19 and 20 years old again with this opportunity that they have, because technology goes hand in hand with oil and gas, but also with our economy just in general, I think. And the spirituality part of it for me is that I've always had this deep faith and belief that the people of South Louisiana, specifically Lafayette, have been endowed almost like the people of Israel back in the day. You know, we're the chosen people. I believe that. And I think that that God has put his hand on South Louisiana for us as a model for the rest of the country and the world. You look at the kids today, and you go to daily mass at UL or LSU on campus, or any of the, you see all these young kids out there with this deep faith, and they're not only faithful, they're smart,
mm-hmm.
and they have a direction, they know where they're going. Now, I don't like the social media part of it all. That's the devil, in my opinion. I don't like the Facebook stuff and all the bad parts of that. That's something they're gonna have to deal with, you know.
And I think
but
they will. I think
they
they're
will.
Gonna see, they'll get it where it
and
works.
I think that
yeah.
has made them stronger because
mm-hmm.
they're able to. But it does, it's made them less social skills when these kids today don't want to meet face to face, and you don't see that. So that's something to overcome, but that's a national type problem. But
mm-hmm.
I just think locally, the sky's the limit. I mean, these kids, I watch them, they love to fish and hunt, you know, they like
yeah.
to eat boiled crawfish, and at the same time, they like to worship Christ, and
mm-hmm.
you know, they're missionaries. There's so many amazing missions here that are sprout out of Lafayette, right there in Abbeville, the Family Mission Company. They're doing amazing work, you know, in Costa Rica and Panama and all over the world, and that's just right here out of Abbeville.
Right.
And there's many more like that. I spoke to Sister Fatima at UL today, and she's doing a mission, getting ready to do one, I think, to Panama, and so.
There's a lot, yeah. We really are.
Amazing.
We're well situated.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Here in
the Carmelites right there.
Right.
I mean, these ladies are amazing. There's
right.
so much going. It's
well,
good
know,
stuff, too.
I know your faith drives you and,
yes.
and your work, and I just want to thank you for all you and your family have
thank
done,
you.
Todd, and thank you for being my personal friend and for
it.
The support that you give back to the
it's
community.
It's been a pleasure. We have good things. I think you and I can do some good things for this community. I hope I can help you, and I know that we have the best days ahead of us.
Thank you. Well, this is a labor of
okay.
love. Thank you for being here.
God bless you.
And I'd like to thank a couple of people first, Dylan Guillory and Matt LeBlanc with Delta Media for filming, helping us film this TV show today.
Thank you.
And for those of you watching, please check out discoverlafayette.net. You can find this interview in all of our TV shows and podcasts where we promote the wonderful things going on in Lafayette, Louisiana. I'm Jan Swift with another episode of Discover Lafayette.